Today's Shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara Bava Metzia Daf Lamed Gimel. Yes, Hashem, we're going to finish off the wonderful Perek of Elu Metzios today and start the next Perek, the third Perek HaMafkid. These are very, very famous Prokem. Again, many people have learned them as their first start of Gemara in elementary school, and Yes, Hashem, we'll get to revisit them. Learning today always for the continued success of Tzahal. They should be safe. All those in need of Rufu Shlema should have one. They should be able to bring back the Chatufim, Bimheira, in good health. And Be'ezus Hashem, there should be Shalom and all Klal Yisrael. Okay, we begin about a third of the daf down, Lamed Gimel Lamed Aleph, with the new Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, Avedah So, V'Avedah Soviv. If a person has an opportunity to go and return his own Avedah, to get back his own Avedah, or to get back his father's Avedah, so the Halach is, even though there's a tremendous mitzvah, Kibud Av V'Aim, Avedah So Kodemis. You are entitled to go and get your own object back that was lost, your own lost item, ahead of your father's lost item. Because, as we'll see, the Gemara will tell us that your own financial success takes precedence over anybody else's financial success. However, the Gemara will tell us that that has to be taken with a tremendous grain of salt, that a person shouldn't only focus on that, but should make sure that he's also focusing on other people as well. Now, avodah sov, avodah rabo, if it's your avodah and your Rebbe's avodah, the same halach applies, shalom kol them, for the same reasons. Now we'll get into comparisons between your father and your Rebbe. And we'll see that this is really dealing with the Rebbe Muvhak, your main Rebbe. The Gemara will define exactly what that means. And if the father here is originally a person who is an Amma Oretz. So, Avedas Oviv, Vavedas Rabo. The father is a regular person. He's not a Talmud Chacham. And it's your Rebbe and your main Rebbe. So then, Shel Rabo Kodemus. Then the item of your Rebbe takes precedence over the item of your father. And the rationale is, because your father brought you into this world, your father brought you into this world, he's your father. However, the Rabbo Shalim Do Chochma, the Rebbe who taught you Chochma, which we'll see in the Gemara, will be defined as Gemara, Mevio L'chaye Olam Haba, brings you into the world to come. So therefore, his lost item takes precedence over your father's lost item. However, if your father is also Talmud Chacham, so the discussion in the poskim, does he have to be the same level of Talmud Chacham as your Rebbe, or he's just a Talmud Chacham and taught you things as well? So then, shall Aviv Kodemus, because then your father brought you into this world, but he also helps bring you into the world to come. And therefore, your father would take precedence over your Rebbe. Now, Hayo Aviv the Rabbo Nosim Masoi. Here we have a similar case. The first one we just dealt with an Aveda, and now we're dealing with your father and your Rebbe are each carrying a burden, and you have to unload them, to have to help them unload the burden that they're carrying, the item that they're carrying. So first, Miniach Esharabo, first you have to lighten the load of your Rebbe, and then Viachakach Miniach Esharabo, and only afterwards are you allowed to go and help lighten the load of your father. In other words, your Rebbe comes first again. Now this is the same idea as the first din of Aveda. We find the din by a burden, by carrying something, a masa, as well. Then we have a third category the Mishnah tells us. If Rachman will assign, your father and your Rebbe are both captured, so you can redeem only one of them. Obviously, if you can redeem both, you redeem both. But you only have enough money to redeem one of them. So first, Podes Rabo. You first have to go and redeem your Rebbe. Then only afterwards do you go and redeem your father. Again, Im Aviv Chacham, your father is a Talmud Chacham, so then Podes Aviv first. Podes Rabo. Then you're allowed to go and be Podes your father first. And only afterwards, you're going to be Podes your Rebbe. So we were taught the same halacha three times. The first time is by Aveda, the second time by Amasa, and the third time by Shviya, by being in captivity. And the Ben Yoda, in his classical explanation, tells us that there's a need to tell us all three of these things. The din of Masa is a physical thing. So there you need to tell me that you have to go and physically help your Rebbe first. But I might have thought by an Aveda, which is a financial loss, so since you'll ultimately inherit your father, so maybe you then have the right to first take care of your father, because ultimately that really is your money as well. So it had to tell us the din by an Aveda. And therefore, it taught us that din as well. And the din by a Shvuya, by Pidyon Shvuyim, so you would have said, people may not know that this person is your Rebbe. And they'll see that your father is in captivity and your Rebbe is other person is in captivity, they're not going to realize that it's your Rebbe, and you go and redeem that other person first, they're going to assume that you don't like your father, Rahman al-Islam, that there's some kitata, some fighting between you and your father. They're not going to necessarily know that this other person was your Rebbe. And therefore, you might have thought that you should do your father first in this situation, so therefore, kamash malon, that's why you needed that case as well, to teach us that even here, you have an obligation to go and redeem your father only after you redeemed your Rebbe. Okay. Gemara starts off and tells us, where do we learn this din? That a person's own object takes precedence over his father or his rabbi. So that was the initial part of the Mishnah. So Amar Yehuda, Amar Rav. Yehuda says the name of Rav. Amar Kwa, because the pasuk says, Ephes, you shall under no circumstances, Hilo Yimcha Evyon, that you should not have a lack of funds in your possession. In other words, you have to make sure that you don't become dependent upon the public to support you. Shelecha kodem l'shel kol adam, that you have to take care of your own financial success ahead of everybody else's financial success. However, that is the basic din. Amar Yehuda, Amar Rav, if you take this too seriously, if you take this to the extent that all you do is take care of yourself and you never help anybody else out, call him a kain ba'asul kach, if you're so medakdek and so careful to only take care of yourself, so then you're doing this to prevent yourself from becoming a evyon, so then, in the end, boli de kach, you will become impoverished. So therefore, a person shouldn't take this too carefully. As Rashi says, he's zar min anias. Yes, you have to be careful not to become a poor person, that you become dependent upon the public for taking care of you. However, if one takes this too seriously, so then it's not going to be good for you. As Rashi says, if you're a medaktek so much, im tamid medaktek, so porek me olav ol gmilus chasadim utstaka, if you take this so carefully, well, I can't give you any money because then I become poor. I can't give you any of my funds because then I become impoverished. So then, sov shiit storich lebrios. So then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make it that you'll eventually need the brios, or your money will go away. Okay, then we quote the Mishnah, Hoya Aviv Rabbu Nosu Masoi V'chule. So we have the cases that if you had the scenario of your father and your Rebbe needing something, either to return the Aveda or to take off the burden that they're carrying or to go and redeem them. So he said that in the general situation, the Rebbe comes ahead of the father, unless the father is also a Talmud Chacham. And now we'll discuss what level that has to be. Tanur Bakas, we learn the Braisa. Rabbo Sha'amu, that which we said, your Rebbe in the Mishnah takes precedence over your father, that will have three opinions. The first one is Rabbo Shalimdo Chochma. This is the Rebbe that taught you Chochma. Rashi explains, this is Svaras Tamei HaMishnah. This is the understanding of the Mishnah, why this Mishnah says that it's also, and this Mishnah says that it's Mutter. So you have to understand what the difference is between the two. Elohavin Shelo Yehu Sosros Zo as Zo, that they shouldn't seem to contradict each other. Sometimes in Mishnayis, we throw this Mishnah against that Mishnah. We say, what about this Brice against that Mishnah? So we have to understand it. V'tamei Isav Heter, to understand what's the reasoning behind something being Osir or Mutter, or Chi of a Potter, something he's obligated, something he's not obligated, and this is called the Hu Nikra Gemara. In other words, this is the Shakel V'Tarya explaining all the dinim. That is the Tanakhama's opinion. This Rebbe that you have to go and give precedence over your father is only the Rebbe that taught you Gemara. V'lo Rabbo Shalim Do Bikur Mishnah, and not the Rebbe that taught you Mikra. Rashi says that's Tanakh, and Mishnah is just the Mishnayis, without necessarily understanding the reasoning behind them. So, Divri Rebbe, this is the Tanakam, this is Rebbe's opinion, that's what it means, your Rebbe takes precedence over your father, only the Rebbe that taught you the Gemara. Rebbe Yehuda Omer, Kol Sherov Chochmas Meimenu, it has to be the one that taught you the majority of your learning, your Rabbo Muvach, he's the one. As Rashi says, this applies, initially we're saying, in Mikra, in Mishnah, in Gemara. Whoever taught you most of your Torah, whatever it was, whether it's Tanakh, whether it's Mishnayis, or Gemara, the one that taught you the majority of your Torah learning, your Rabbi Mufak, so he is the one that takes precedence over your father. And we have the third opinion of Yossi Omer, Afilu lo heyer einav ela b'mishnah achas. If the person only taught you one din, as Rashi says, hey, you ain't of, shodio tam mishnah achas, shloi cholhovin, he taught you one thing that you didn't know, zel rabbo, that also qualifies for him to be your Rebbe. Now, Amar Rava, Rava says, I'll give you an example of somebody who taught somebody else just one din, can go on Rav Schora. Rebbe, Rava said that this is like Rav Schora, the Asbron Zuamo Listron, who taught me this din about Zuamo Listron. What is this Zuamo Listron? So Rashi says this Mishnah in Kalim, in Seder Taros in Kalim, and Vlo Yisi Odea, Rava says, I didn't know what type of a kli this was talking about, this Zuamo Listron. Maklihu Vlamdeni, and this Rav Schora taught me Shu Kaf Godol was a big ladle, Shemistalik Bo Zuha Makdera, that you go and scrape off or take off, skim off from the surface this Zuhama that comes onto the top of the pot that's cooking. And this is a kli, and he needed to know what this kli was in Kalim to understand the dinim of Tumah and Tahara with it. So he explained to me what this was. So Rava says, this qualifies, according to Rav Yossi, as being Rabba. Similarly, Shmuel Korumani, Shmuel ripped his garment as a sign of Avelus, Aleyahu Mirabbanan, on the death of a certain rabbi, the Asprey that taught him the following din, Echad Yored Li'amas HaShecha V'Echad Poseach Kivan. So this was a din in the Beis HaMikdash. As you enter into the actual Ulam, so there were gates there, and you had to stick your hand into one of the gates that was, in order to open up the door, so the key had to go in all the way, you have to stick your hand in all the way up to your armpit to be able to go and open up the first chamber. It was on the northeast side of the entranceway into the Ulam, and then you would go and be able to stick your second key in without any difficulty. So the first one, you had to stick your hand in all the way out, Amas HaShechi, Rashi explains, the Echad Poseach Kivan, and the other one, you just put straight into, because once you're inside that chamber, you can just take the key out, the other key out, and open the door. So therefore, this was a din that Shmuel said, one of the Rabbanim had taught him, and when this person passed away, he ripped Kriya over him, just like he's supposed to rip Kriya over a Rebbe Muvak, Halacha L'maisa. So you ripped Kriya, according to Rav Yossi, even if somebody just taught you one din. Okay, so these are the three opinions that we have right now. Amar Ula, Ula tells us, Tamidei Chachamim Shebabavol, Omdim Zeh Mipnei Zeh, the Tamidei Chachamim in Babel would stand up to give honor and kavod one to the other. And as a further sign of respect, the Korin Zalza, they would go and rip their clothing. Nebuchadnezzar, if one of them passed away, they would rip their clothing like it was a Rebbe Muvok. However, Ulinin Aveda, bim welcome of it, but in regards to a lost object, when this person who had taught them one halacha was had lost something, and their father had lost something, they wouldn't go that far and treat him like the Rebbe Muvok over the father, Ein Chosen El Rabba Muvok. They only would do this with the Rabba Muvok, which we define as the person who taught you most of your Torah. So that person, he takes precedence over the father, but just somebody who they would normally give a tremendous cover to, they would stand up for them, they would even rip Kriya over them, but just because they taught them one halacha, but that wouldn't be the din in regards to the Aveda of the father versus the Aveda of such a Rebbe. Now, Kaboy Minei Rav Chista Mi Rav Huna. Rav Chista asked Rav Huna the following. Rav Chista was like a Talmud Chavir of Rav Huna, and he asked his Rebbe, Rav Huna, Talmud Vitzorich Lo Rabbo. What's the halacha if you have a Talmud? Yes, he's a Talmud of the Rebbe, but the Rebbe needs him. The way Rashi understands this is as follows. Vitzorich Lo Rabbo, three lines into the widest lines at the bottom. Sheshama Shmuos Sheyesh Biyado Mipi Acherim. So let's say he learned by another Rebbe, and he's able to tell over the Torah that he learned by the other Rebbe to his new Rebbe right now. So he's able to teach some things to his new Rebbe. So in this situation, does such a person constitute the fact that he's a Rebbe, it would take precedence over his father or not? Because the Rebbe needs you a little bit, just like you need the Rebbe. So that's what Rav Chista asked Rav Huna. My, what's the halacha? In this situation, if such a Rebbe had lost an item and the father had lost an item, who would he be required to go and give back the lost item first? Would this be the din of the Rebbe over the father? Or no, in this situation, since the Rebbe is not as much of a Rebbe, since the Rebbe needs him a little bit too, so then you can go and return the father's lost object first. Now, Amalei, Rav Huna said back to Rav Chista, he said, Chista, lo tzrich no loch, at tzriches li. I don't need you, you need me. In other words, Rav Huna took a little bit of an offense that Rav Chista was asking the question that, well, I'm teaching you some things also, Rav Huna, and therefore, does the Rebbe-Talmud relationship work in the same way when it's people like you and me? So Rav Huna was a little bit taken aback by what Rav Chista said, and he told him, no, I don't need you at all. You still need me. And now the next words, ad arbon shtin, there are two ways to learn it. Either you learn it that you need me until you're my Talmud for 40 years. Once you're my Talmud for 40 years, then you no longer need me. Or others say that, no, this was just you need me and I don't need you. And then the words, ad arbon shtin, that they were unfortunately upset with each other for the next 40 years. Either you learn the word 40 years goes that you need me for 40 years, or that they were sat with each other for 40 years. If you learn it on the first part, that it was, you'll need me for 40 years, so then they just were upset with each other. And they no longer got together with each other. He stopped being his Talmud. And this caused a unfortunately a tension in their relationship. Others say, no, this was actually 40 years. Now, this sounds very, very difficult to understand, and especially when you read the next line. The next line says, Yosef Rav Chista Arboyin Taneisa Mishum Ducholash Daitid Rav Huna. Rav Chista was very, very upset that he'd gotten his Rebbe upset, and it really bothered him, and he fasted 40 days because he felt he upset his Rebbe. And likewise, Yosef Rav Huna, our boy in Tanisa, Rav Huna fasted 40 days, Mishum Dechashtei L'Rav Chista, because he felt that he had incorrectly attributed this question to Rav Chista as a slight on his kavod, when in fact Rav Chista didn't mean it that way. So Yishidu was very, very, very upset at the fact that they'd got the other one upset. So once you have that, how do you reconcile the fact that they didn't speak to each other, Ikpidi Hadad, either for 40 years or for some long period of time? Doesn't seem to make sense. So the simple understanding is very difficult to understand. So the Ben Yehuda explains beautifully over here as well. And the Ben Yehuda says that no, they weren't mad at each other. They were afraid, however, that if they did get back into the Talmud Chavir Rebbe relationship, that they would again cause the other one to be upset. And therefore, out of concern not to upset the other one, that's why lo aile legabi adodi, they didn't go and get together with each other, because Rav Huna was afraid that if he was the Rebbe against Rav Chista, he would make some sort of a comment that would upset Rav Chista and put him down. And Rav Chista was afraid that if he learned by Rav Huna, he would make some sort of a comment that would show them some sort of a lack of respect for Rav Huna. So that's why the Ben Yehuda says that they didn't get together with each other. Not chas v'shalom that they were upset and mad at each other, even though that's the simple understanding of the words. He says, no, the reason why they were makbid not to get together with each other was because of the tremendous respect for each other. And that fits in actually perfectly with why they each fasted 40 taneisim, because they were upset that they'd gotten the other person upset, not because they had been a pagam in their own kavod or a pagam in their own dealings with the other person. They were upset about hurting the other person. Beautiful Ben Yehuda. Okay. Mark continues and says, Itmar, we learn the base medrash, Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef, Om Rav Yochanan, Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef said name Rav Yochanan, Halachik Rav Yehuda, we pass like Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda was the opinion that we just brought down in the Gemara a moment ago, that Kol Sherov Chochmoso Hemenu, that the one who this din applies to is only your Rebbe, we learn the majority of your learning from. That was Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef's opinion in the name of Yochanan. On the other hand, Rav Acha bar Rav Huna Omar, Rav Sheshes, Rav Acha bar Rav Huna said the name of Rav Sheshes, Halacha ki Rav Yosef, we pass it like Rav Yosef, that in fact, even if it's somebody you just learned one Mishnah from, if they just taught you one din, that din is enough to make him your Rebbe, that you take precedence over your own father for the Aveda, for the burden, for the Masa, or for the pigeon Shuyu. Okay, now, the more questions, this opinion that Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef put down the name of Yochanan. Did Rav Yochanan really say that? Umir Rav Yochanan Hachi. Did he really pass it like Rav Yehuda? After all, Vam Rav Yochanan Halacha Kista Mishnah. Rav Yochanan is famous throughout Shas. We've mentioned this many times. But teaching us the Halacha that when Rebbe wrote the Mishnayis and he didn't put down the name of the person who said it, a Stam Mishnah, that means Rebbe Paskins that way. Rebbe Paskins like a Stam Mishnah. And this is Halacha, Rav Yochanan says, applied throughout Shas. So Rav Yochanan is the one that says Halacha Kista Mishnah, Utanan. And our Mishnah said, Rabbo Shalimdo Chachma. It teaches us simply in our Mishnah, the one who taught you Chachma. This din, which then had three definitions in the Gemara, the Mishnah just said, Rabbo Shalimdo Chachma, the one that taught you Gemara. So that would seem to be like the opinion of Rav Meir, and not like the opinion of Yehuda. So how can you tell me Rav Yochanan, as brought down by Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef, says that the Halacha is like Rav Yehuda? It seems from our Mishnah, Stam Mishnah, that the Halacha is like Rav Meir. So the Gemara answers, no, you misunderstood what our Mishnah says. When our Mishnah says that the Halacha is Rabbo Shalimdo Chachma, my Chachma, what does it mean Chachma? It means Rov Chachma. So, that's what it meant. Not like the understanding of Rav Meir, but he would understand it the way Rav Yehuda understood it, that it means Shalimdo Chachma means Rov Chachma, so not necessarily Gemara like Rav Meir understood it. And therefore, there is no stira between the Stam Mishnah and the way Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef said in the name of Yochanan, that halacha is like Rav Yehuda, and that's the way the halacha is brought down. This is talking about your Rebbe Muvak. When we have these dinim of your father versus your Rebbe, it's really talking about your Rebbe Muvak and not just the Rebbe that you had. He was your first Rebbe that taught you Eilam Tzius. You have to have tremendous respect for him, but not necessarily more respect than for your father. Okay. The Gemara continues, says, Tana Rabbanan, Ha'oskim ba Mikra, people that just learned Chumash, so that's wonderful, Midah, that's great. They have a certain measure of learning. However, the Eino Midah, but it's not a very, very large measure. As Rashi says, Shamishna uGemara Yofim Imenu. It's better to also learn Mishnayis and Gemara, and not just Chumash, not just Tanakh, but Meshna Tluyim Begirsa, because you're not going to be able to learn Chumash, Tanakh, without really knowing the Mishnayis and the Gemara. And if a person really wants to be successful in learning, you need to learn these other things as well. If you learn Tanakh and Mishnah, so if a person just learns Mishnah without the Gemara, B'Mishnah, again, Midah. It's a certain level of success. However, V'notin Aleschai, you get a certain level of reward for it, but it's not the same as learning the understanding of the Mishnahis, which is the Gemara. And if a person learns the Tanakh, he learns the Mishnahis, and he learns Gemara, oh, Inlecha Midah G'dol Mizu, there's nothing better than that. That's the ideal way to learn. However, then we make a statement that seems to contradict this. So this Brisa then says, Uli Olam, have you wrote Slamishna, Yosef and Gemara? But having just said what we just said, better learn Mishnayis than Gemara. So what in the world is going on over here? I'll go for Kasha. First you tell me, Amriz B'Gemara, that's the best, Ein L'cha Midah G'dol Mizo. And then you tell me, run after the Mishnayis. For other Amriz, Uli Olam, have you wrote Slamishna, Yosef and Gemara? So what's going on over here? Which one is, quote, the better, to learn Gemara or to learn Mishnayis? Which one should you spend your time doing? So obviously the answer is you have to do both. You can't learn Gemara without learning the Mishnayis. But what we're learning here is a historical context of how the Mishnayis were written down. Rebbe saw that Nebuchadnezzar and Adoros and people were forgetting the Mishnayis. So Rebbe wrote the Mishnayis down. He redacted them. He edited them and put them into the Seder that we have. He put them into the Shisha Sidre Mishnah. And he put them in the order within those Sidre Mishnah. He put them in the order. So we have Bava Metzia coming after Bava Kama. And then next we'll have Bava Basra. And then we'll learn the other Masechtas, we'll learn Sanhedrin, we'll learn Makos, and then we'll learn Avodah Zarah. So it goes in the order that Rebbe established it. And Amar Yochanan, and that's what Rebbe Yochanan teaches us, we turn to Lama Gimel Amid Beis, B'yemei Rebbe Nishish Mishnah Zu. So originally the Mishnah was that you should absolutely go and learn Gemara. That's the best thing. However, Shavku Kule Amon Masnisim, but everybody then just focused on the Gemara, and they didn't learn all the Mishnayis. You have to know, have a really understanding of the Mishnayis if you want to be successful in being able to learn the Gemara well, to be able to figure out why this din is different than that din. You have to know all the Mishnayis. So therefore, the Oslu Basi Gemara, everybody went and learned Gemara, and they were forgetting the Mishnayis. So Hodr Dorash Lohs, therefore Rebbe was redacting the Mishnayis and put them all together, and then he darshan. With all of them, you wrote the Mishnah, Yosef and Gemara. But first, before you learn Gemara, you have to learn all the Mishnayis. You have to have a complete understanding of what the dinim are in the abstract, and then you can start being comparing this din to that din. Maybe in Dabi Mitoch Dabi, oh, this Mishnah was talking about this scenario, that Mishnah is talking about that scenario. They're not conflicting with each other, they're actually consistent with each other, and that's the proper way to learn. So Rebbe said, you have to first learn all the Mishnayis. You have to know the Mishnayis well, and then you'll be more successful in learning Gemara. And that's this very long top Rashi over here that gives the historical background over here. That, and we'll learn from the second line. Mishur Rabu Talmidei Shammai V'Hillel. When the Talmidei Beis Shammai Beis Hillel came about, so the end of that line says, Rabu Machlokis B'Torah. There was lots of Machlokis in the Torah. The Nasis Kishtei Torahs, with one of the sun, it looked like there were two Torahs. There was the Torah Beis Hillel and the Torah Beis Shammai. Mitoch ol shibud malchios ugzeros shugozun alem. And this occurred because of the tremendous persecution and the difficulties the Jewish people had. And they were trying to learn, but it turned out that they were splitting the Torah, so to say. Umitoch kach lo yuchol losei slave. And they, because of the persecution, they weren't able to really concentrate and pay attention and reconcile levarer divrei hacholkim. Adyom Shal Rebbe, and this continued until the days of Rebbe. And then, Shinoatsan HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lochein B'Eini Antoninus, Rebbe had a great relationship with Antoninus, Antony Caesar, Antoninus Caesar, and the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, in other places, tells us great stories of Rebbe and Antoninus, how close they were, and he was the Caesar, Melech Romi, as Gemara in Avodah Zarah tells us in Daf Yud, the Nachu Mitzorah, and the persecution of the Jews during the time of Antoninus, diminished tremendously. It never went away, but it diminished tremendously. In fact, there are those opinions that say that Antoninus Caesar converted and became a Ger Tzedek at the end of his life, but he was very, very good friends with Rebbe, and many, many stories behind that. In any event, so during this period of time, Rebbe was able to go and gather all the Talmidei Chachamim, the Sholach, the Kibbutz, called Talmidei Eretz Yisrael, And the Adyam of Loyu Mesechto Siduros, all the Mesechtos weren't arranged in a specific order. What did they do? Elokol Tamid, Shishama Adar, Mipi Gadol Hemenu. Anytime a person learns something from his Rebbe, so Garusa, he learned it, Vinosin Simonim, and he made Simonim. That's why some places in the Gemara we have these Simonim. Halacha plonis u plonis, and they would say this halacha is like this halacha is where we paskin, and shamati misham ploni, and I learned this from that person over there. Now, this was a haphazard way of gathering knowledge. Ukshenikbitsu, now that they were able to gather all together, the persecution was diminished. So Amar kol echad mashama, everybody now said over what they had learned, and vinosnu lev levarer tamia machlokes, and they were able to go and reconcile all the different machlokes in divrei mi ruuyin lekayim, and which way we should paskin. And therefore, Rebbe the Sidra Masechtos, and Rebbe set up all the Shisha Sidra Mishnah, Divrei Nezikin Levadim. He put all the laws of Nezikin together in Seder Nezikin. The Divrei Yevamos Levadim. He put the halachas of Yevamos all together. The Divrei Kachim Levadim, and those halachas he put separately. Usasam Nami B'Mishnah Divrei Yechidim, and therefore Rebbe said this is the way we paskin. So he wrote those as Stam Mishnayis without giving the appellation who said it, and this would be a sign that this was the way we paskin. Shiroh Rebbe is the Rebbe. The Rebbe felt this was the correct halacha l'maisa. Vishonon Stam, and he therefore listed them as Stam Mishnayis kidei likvo halacha k'mosum, to make the halacha like them. And Lefikach Amru B'Gemara. And that's why originally it said, En Chamidu Gedol Mizu, there's nothing greater than this to learn the Gemara, Sheyitnu Lev Letamei Mishnah. That will explain the Mishnais. Okay, interesting background that Rashi brings. Okay, now, where did Rebbe get this idea that he could do what he did? My Dorish. What did Rebbe do to say that the studying of Gemara is more important than the studying of Mishnah? Okay, the Dorish of Yehuda, Rebbe Loi. This Rebbe Yehuda, the Tana Rebbe Yehuda, learned. Who was the son of Rabbi Loi? My dechsev, he said, "Haged la'ami pisham." So he quotes this pasuk that we have from Yeshaya, and he says, "Tell my people, tell my nation their sin." Now, there's three types of sins: there's ovon, pesha, and chait. Right? We say chatanu, avinu, poshanu. So you have ovon; that is the highest level of sin. That's when a person does things tzulahachas. He does things to anger HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's pesha, which a person does intentionally, but he does it out of taiva. He can't resist eating that trefa sandwich, the bacon sandwich. He can't resist it. It just smells so good. He can't resist it. He's sinning. He's doing it on purpose, but he's not doing it to anger HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not the level of ovon; it's a lower level of pesha. And then you have chait, which is basically a person that does sins without knowing. He doesn't do the sins intentionally, but he's doing sins. So in Yeshaya it says, Haged le'ami pisham, tell my people their pesha, their intentional sins, ulebeis Yaakov chatosam, and also tell the Beis Yaakov their unintentional sins, the sins that they did without knowledge. So what does this mean? Haged le'ami pisham, the first part of the pasuk, elu tamidei chachamim, this is a reference to the tamidei chachamim, shishigagos nasos lehem kizdonos, that their shigagos, their sins that they did unintentionally, are going to be viewed as intentional sins because they should have known better. They're Talmidei Chachamim, and they should have learned better, and they should have been more careful. So, paradoxically, to the Ami Ha'aretz, the regular people, so their sins, even if they did them intentionally, Elo Ami Ha'aretz, Shizdonos, their intentional sins, Nasos them Kishkagos, they're viewed in some way as being unintentional because they haven't learned. And therefore, V'haynu did not, that's what we learned in the Mishnah on Pirkei Avos, where it says, Rav Yehuda Omer, Hevizor b'Talmud, a person should be very careful with his Torah learning, with his Talmud, Sheshigigas Talmud, if you forget the Gemara, so then Ola Zodan, it's going to lead to terrible sins. If a person doesn't chazer, and if a person doesn't learn, so then he's going to end up doing all sorts of terrible sins. Okay. Furthermore, Darish Yehuda Reloi, Yehuda the son of Reloi said, furthermore, my Dirsiv, what does it mean? By the way, whenever it says Yehuda Reloi, or it says Yehuda b'Bava, so these two are referred to as Chasidim. When the Gemara says Chasid Echad, it either refers to Yehuda bar Eloi or Yehuda b'Bava. So he was a very, very great Tana. So he Darshan, what does it mean when the Pasuk says Shimu Dvar Hashem HaCharedim El Dvoro? Another Pasuk from Yeshaya, where it says, this is where we have the word Charedim come from. This is the source of the word Charedim. Those that are Chared, those that are trembling at the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So listen carefully to the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, those of you who tremble listening to the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So who's this Charedim referring to? Elu Talmidei Chacham. This is the Talmidei Chacham. As Rashi says, Shishim Shu Chachamim Harbi, they learned by many different Talmidei Chachamim, L'landim Tame Mishnasim, so they can go and really understand the Mishnayis. Zeh Bezu, Vizeh Bezu, Vizeh Bezo, so they can go back and forth and understand them. She'ein HaKol Bekiyim Bishavyam, because people don't know them. So these are the people that are Haredim. And it says, Amru Acheichem, the pasuk continues and says, your brothers, who is this referring to? Eil Bali Mikra. These are the people that know Chumash. They're referred to as your brothers. So Nechem, but then the pasuk says, So Nechem, Eil Bali Mishnah. These are the people that only learn Mishnayis. Why would they be called So Nechem? Because the Mepharshim explain that they are jealous of the people that learn Gemara, and they say, hey, I know Mishnah, I know Halacha, and you think you know better than me? But in fact, the people that learn Gemara do, because they're able to understand the Mishnayis, where these people just learn the Mishnayis without really fully understanding them. And that's why they're called your Sonechem, your enemies. Eilu Bali Mishnah, these are the people that just learn Mishnayis. Then it says, Minadechem in the Pasuk, those people that you put into Nidui, they're put away. So this refers to Eilu Ami Ha'aretz. So what does the Pasuk mean? Shema Tomar, Pasak, Sivram, Ubato, Sikuyam. You might have thought that these people, the last people, the ones that don't learn so well, either the Sonechem or the Menadechem, so these people, that they're not going to be Zochah to Olam HaEmes, Pasak Sivram, their hope is gone, so to say, Ubatos Kuyam, and they're going to be gone in the days of Mashiach, Tavolo, and no. The Nirab Simchaslam, all of these Jewish people will be Zochah to see the Simcha ultimately. B'mherib Yomenu. Ah, Yishema Tomar, Yisroel Yevoshu. When the Pasuk then says that they'll be ashamed, it will be the Jewish people will be ashamed. Tamaloma, no. The Heim Yevoshu. It's not the Jewish people will be ashamed. It is talking about the Ovdei Kochavim Yevoshu. The Ovdei Kochavim will ultimately be ashamed. Yisroel Yismachu. And the Jewish people, the Ezos Hashem, and Harib Yemenu, will rejoice with the coming of Mashiach. What a wonderful, beautiful way to end the Masechta. Hadron Alecha Eilu Mitzios. Hadron Alecha Eilu Mitzios. Hadron Alecha Eilu Mitzios. And now we begin Perek HaMafkid. Again, Eilu Mitzios and HaMafkid are two of the most famous parakim for young boys starting off in yeshiva. And now we will begin HaMafkid. HaMafkid Eitzu Chaveiro Behemo Kelim. If a person goes and gives a deposit, right? He places his object, either his behema or his kelim. Tosus says the word okelim over here doesn't really belong. Although then Tosus explains why it could be kelim over here as well, because we're going to be dealing with kefel and dalet vehei, which only applies to the behema. But he explains, no, it could be kelim as well. In any event, if a person goes and places his animal, his behema or his kelim, into the hands of someone else to go and be a shomer on them. And here we introduce the Arba Shomer, which we talked about so much already in Seder and Ezekiel. So you have the Arba Shomrim over here, the Shomer Chinam, the Shomer Socha. The Shomer Chinam is one who's not getting paid to watch the item. Shomer Socha is being paid to watch the item. They're dinim in terms of what they're supposed to watch and what they held culpable for are different. The Shomer Chinam just has to do a regular watching. He doesn't have to do outstanding type of watching, what's called a normal watching, and therefore, as long as he's not poshef, he's not negligent, so then he'll not be held accountable, and all he has to do is swear that he didn't do pshia, he wasn't negligent, and then he won't have to go and pay. As opposed to a shomer sachar, a person who's a paid watchman, so not only is he chayef for pshia if he's negligent, but he's also going to be chayef for kinei v'aveda. He's being paid not to have somebody come in and surreptitiously steal the item, and to be careful with it that it doesn't get lost. So he's being paid for this, so he has a higher level of culpability. And he's chayev not only for negligence, but he's also chayev for if it's stolen or if it's lost. And the stealing that we're talking about here is a regular type of stealing surreptitiously. As opposed to if it was onsen, if it was armed robbers, or there's a hurricane that came and was above the normal expected type of winds and it caused damage, in that situation, even the shomer socha is going to be potter. Then the next type of shomer is called the socher. This is the renter. And we'll have a machlok between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda as to how we view this renter. Do we view him like a shomer chinam, or do we view him like a shomer socha? So we'll get to that in the Gemara. And then finally, the last category of shomer is the shol, the one who borrows something. He's chayef for everything. He's chayef for pshi, of course. He's chayef for gneva v'aveda. He's even chayef for onsin. And the only time he's not chayef is if it's meso machmas melocha. The animal dies while it's working. He borrowed it for that purpose. And as long as he wasn't negligent with it, he worked it regularly, and the animal gets a heart attack and dies, so then he's going to be potter. In any event, these are the four types of shomrim. And here we're dealing with the shomer chinam. So if you go and give your animal, your behema, or your kelim, or your utensil, to a shomer chinam, and the nignivu osha avdu, and in the hands of this shomer chinam, it was either stolen or it was lost. Again, he wasn't negligent. So the halacha is that he could swear and then he wouldn't have to pay. But here in the Mishnah, the Shomer Chinam decides not to swear. He says, I don't wish to swear. I don't want to take a chance that maybe I was negligent and didn't realize it. Now I'm going to swear that I wasn't negligent. So I'll pay you, Shilim. I'll pay you for the item, the behemoth, or the kalim, rather than swear. The Lord wants Soli Shavah. He doesn't want to go and swear. So therefore, Shari Amru, the Chalam said, the Loch is Shomer Chinam Nishba B'yotze. Technically, the Shomer Chinam, if he swears he wasn't negligent, so then he's free. He doesn't have to go and pay for the item that was stolen or that was lost. And therefore, in this situation, Nimsa Ganav, we eventually do find the Ganav, so then Mishalim Teshlume Kefel, the Ganav has to pay Teshlume Kefel, and we'll see, he pays it to the Shomer Chinam. Or Tavach Umochar, if this Ganav then went and either Shechted, Tavach, or Mochar, or he sold, so then this is the din of Dal of the Hay. So Mishalim Tashlumi, Arba of the Chamishas, we've explained already many times. If it's a sheep, he pays four times, because either he has to carry the sheep, because the sheep doesn't able to carry itself, or he has to go and he can't work with the sheep, so that's why he only pays four times. As opposed to the shar, which either goes by itself, or it does work for him, so therefore, he has to pay five. So this is a total payment, so he pays the kefil, and then he'll pay an additional, either two more times to make arba total, or three more times to make chamisha total. And that is the din of tovach u'mochar. Now, to who does this ganav pay, the kefil or the dalid v'hei? Lemi mishalim, in this situation with the shomer chinam, chose not to swear and instead paid for the item. So now it's as if the Shomer Chinam bought the item. The Gemara will discuss how can this actually work? How does this actually work? So in any event, so the Ganev will go and pay Lemi Mishalim, Lemi Shabikodon Etzlo, in other words, to the Shomer Chinam, who so to say has bought this Pikodon. However, Nishma, if the Shomer Chinam said, listen, I wasn't negligent, I was doing you a favor, I watched this for you for free, Ganovim came in and they broke the lock, I locked it up properly, and they stole your animal, so I'll swear that I wasn't negligent, I locked the door, Nishma, the Lord sold Shalom, because he doesn't want to pay. Now, Nimsa Ganov, Mishalim Teshul Mekefel. Now, if the Ganov comes, he'll have to pay Teshul Mekefel. Tovach Mocha, if he shechted or sold the animal, he'll have to pay the dollar behe. Mishalim Teshul Mearba Chamisha. To who? Lemi Mishalim. In this situation, Labala Bikodu. He pays it to the original owner because the original owner didn't get paid. He just got a shvua from the Shomer Chinam, so he's still considered the owner. As opposed to if the Shomer Chinam in the first part of the Mishnah had actually paid for it, so it's as if he acquired it. And now, the Kefel and Dalav Hay, if he paid for it, go to the Shomer Chinam. If he swore and didn't pay for it, then the kefil of Dalav Hay stays with the Baal HaPikadon, the owner of the item. Okay, that's the famous Mishnah. The Gemara now discusses Lama Leila Misne Behema, Lama Leila Misne Kalim. Why did you have to tell me Behema or Kalim? Why couldn't they learn one from the other and you didn't have to tell me both of them? You could have just said, Hamavki Yitzchaber Behema. Why do you have to tell me, O Kalim? Well, just tell me, Hamavki Yitzchaber Kalim, and I'll know Behema as well. So what says Trichli, you need both of them. Why you need both of them? Because the Eton of Behema, if you only taught me the din of Behema, I would have said Havamina, Behema, who demakti like Kefela. Only in the case of the Behema does the original owner of the item, when the Shomer Chinam pays for it, give over the Kefel rights to the Shomer Chinam. Why is that? Behemu demakti leik feila, because Mishum did nafish tircha, because he had a lot of work to do. The Shomer Chinam had to take the animal into the barn, out of the barn, and therefore layule lafuke, to take him in, to take him out. So therefore, that's why he's willing to give him the kefil once he paid him the principal. However, Abu Caleb, there was no effort. I gave you my vase. You put it in your chamber that was properly closed and watched, and that's it. You didn't have to do anything else. Abu Caleb, the lo nafish tichai, you had no real work to do. So maybe in that situation, emol lo makdi lekvela. Maybe even though the Shomer Chinam paid him the principal, the guy says, okay, I'll give you back your principal, but I'll get the kefil for myself if they find the ganav. So therefore, you have to tell me the case of Caleb. No, just tell me Kalim, Vitana Kalim. If you only told me the case of Kalim, you know what it would have said? Hava Amina, I would have said, Kalim hu de komakne leik vela. The only reason why by Kalim does the original Baal of the Kalim give the kefil rights to the Shomer Chinam when he pays him is because Mishum de lo nofish kiflayu. Because that's it. There's only kefil. You're never going to get a windfall over here if they find the ganav. So therefore, by Kalim, he says, okay, sure, you gave me the principal. If there is a ganav that's found, you'll get to keep the extra payment, the kefil. Fine. But If it was an animal, there could be a real windfall over here. Your animal was stolen. The guy shafted it. All of a sudden, you get five times your animal. Whoa. In that situation, maybe in this situation, he's not giving over the rights of the kefal. He's not giving over the rights of the dollar of hay. That's a windfall over here with an animal. So therefore, I would have said only by kalim does he give over the rights. But by an animal, where there's a potential windfall over here, he doesn't give over the rights. Therefore, tzricha. Therefore, you have to tell me both, behema, oh, kalim. Each had a din in it that you wouldn't have learned from the other one. And that's why the Mishnah had to tell us both. Now, we have a basic question where it says, Maskev l'romi barchoma for eino demaklin dovish l'bol yolim. How exactly does this work? You're not allowed to go and sell something that's not yet come into the world. So this ganav hasn't yet come and stolen this item. How can you go and sell him, so to say, the kefal rights, the dollar, the hay rights? It's a dovish l'bol yolim. You're going to tell me a mishnah goes like Rav Meir, the famous sheet of Rav Meir, that holds that a person can be machta dovish l'bol yolim, as Rashi reminds us, we learn in the Gemara in Kiddushin, if a man says to a woman, harei at mekudeshesli amanas she'es gaya, he's a guy, he's Chris right now, and he says to this woman, here's kesef Kiddushin, I'm going to go and be miskaya in the next couple of days, the next couple of weeks, I'm in the process of going to a beis din and learning to become a yid, here's kesef Kiddushin, when I'm miskaya 2 weeks from now, so then this kesef Kiddushin will take effect. So that's no good according to everybody, except Rebbeya says that that is perfectly good. And he gives many other cases there as well. So the Gemara says, maybe our Mishnah goes according to the opinion of Rebbeya. So the Gemara says, no. The feel of Rebbeya, the Omar Odom Machne Dovish Lobel Yom, even according to the opinion of Rebbeya, says you can be Machne something that hasn't come yet into the world. That's only Hani Mili Kigon Peros Deka. That's only the fruit on a palm tree. So the palm tree right now is bare, but it's the winter time. It will grow fruit in the summertime. So you can sell, according to Rav Meir, the fruit that will grow on this palm tree, because it's inevitable that those fruit are going to grow. The normal way of the world is that this palm tree gives fruits every year. So you can sell that, even though it's a davish lobel yolim, because it's going to come into the world for certain. Aval hacha, in our case, who says that when the shomer chinam is given the item to watch, that it will eventually get stolen? So how can, at that point in time, you make any sort of a kinyan that the kefal will come to you if you go and pay? It's a dovish lo bol yolim. And we turn to lamadal lamad aleph. Mi yemar de migdava. Who says it's going to be stolen? And you know what? Even if it is stolen, im tim siloma de migdava, mi yemar de mishtachach ganav. Who says that we're going to find the ganav? And even if you do find the ganav, mishtachach ganav, mi yemar de shalom. Who says he's going to pay kefal? Maybe dilma modu mafter. He's going to admit that he stole it, and then there's no din of kefal if he admits that he stole it. So how can you go and acquire this kefal? So Rava says, no, no problem. Nasir ka'omalo, it's as if when the Baal Pikadon gives over this Pikadon to the Shomachina to watch, he says, if lichesh tignav v'sirtze u'sisalmeni, if this item gets stolen, and you wish not to swear, and you wish to pay me, so then, hare parasi kinuya l'chom mi'achshav, I'm making a kinyan from now that you acquire the rights to this animal, and therefore, even though the animal's not around at that point in time when it's stolen, and you paid me, so you can't acquire the kefal then, but you're acquiring the animal rights now, mi'achshav. So therefore, that's how this is not a dovish lo bol yolam, and therefore, it retroactively works mi'achshav. Morris says, wait a second, Maskev lo Rav Zeira questions this. Rav Zeira says, wait a second, if this is the case, so then he should also, this shomer should also acquire the shearings and any children that are born in between the time that it's deposited by him and the time that it's returned to him. So afilu gizo sel, v'ulado sel, nami. So then, if he really acquires it from now, me'achshav, so then he should get the shearings, this shomer chinam should get the shearings, any children that are born. But Al-Amatanya, then why do we learn in the Braisa that no, chutz migizosel uvladosel, that he's entitled to the kefal, he's entitled to the dalav hay, but he's not entitled to the shearings, and he's not entitled to the vlados. Now, if he's really konet miyakshav, he should be entitled to them. So therefore, Rav Zeira says, that slugs up your teretz rabba. And therefore, Rav Zeira gives his own teretz. El Omer Rav Zeira, you know what it is? Nasek Yomerlo, as if at the time that he gives over the pikadon to the shomachinim, he said at that point in time, you're acquiring it, chutz migizosel v'losel. You're acquiring it, but you don't have the rights to the shearings or the children. And this way, that's not a problem. No, why did he make such a specific din? Umay Pascha, why did he say over here, Pasakta Dover, it's actually says, Bechol Odom, Shedaitu Lahaknos Kefel, Im Yovel Lekach, Veidaitu Lahaknos Havlodos. Why did you say this somewhat unusual construct over here and say this is exactly what happened? That when every person gives over his because of the Shurim, he says, you'll get the kefal, but you won't get the Gizosel and Vladusel. Why is that? The Gemara says, because Stama de Milsa, this is human nature. He says, Shivacha di Osamayama, some type of additional Shevach, some sort of a benefit that he's going to get that comes from the outside world, such as Kefal, Avidinish Damakli. So that he's willing to give away. As long as I get my principle, I'm okay. Yeah, if it is a Kefal, you can keep the Kefal. No problem. You're doing me a favor, you're watching it for free. However, Shvach de Migufe, but the Shevach that comes, the benefit that comes from the animal itself, the Gizo Sal, the shearings, or the children, that is not so quick to give away. And therefore, that's why he's only makne the kefal rights, but he's not makne to the shomer chinam, the gizosel and vladusel. That's teretz number one. Ikud the amre, others learned it in the following way. Amar Rava, Rava said, nasik ha'omalo, when the Baal Pikadim gives over the item to the shomer chinam, the behema okelim, he gives over to the shomer chinam, he says, lishechiti ganev, if and when it is stolen, betirtze, and you wish to pay me instead of swearing, ulishameni, and you actually pay me, so then, samuch l'gnevasa, while it's still in your possession, right before it's stolen, that's when it's knuy loch. That's when this, in fact, takes effect. Not at the time that I'm giving it over to you, but right before it's stolen. No, if that's what Rava said, as compared to previously, so what's the nafkamina? Bottom line is, he gets the kefil according to the first version of Rava and according to the second version of Rava. So my binai, what's the nafkamina? Rava says, no, big nafkamina. Ikarinayu, kush of the Rebzera. The nafkamina would be this kush of Rebzera, chutz mi gizosel v'lodosel. Yeah, it doesn't belong to him, so of course he doesn't get the gizosel v'lodosel according to the second version. According to the first version, it would be a problem. You'd have to say chutz mi gizosel v'lodosel. Alternatively, inami, the kaima biagam, if right before it was stolen, it was out in the field, it was out in the marsh, out in the swamp. So therefore, if it's in the agam, it's not in his possession. He can't be makdin at that point in time. So according to the second version, he wouldn't get the kefil. According to the first version, he would. Okay, this is a good break point. With this, we conclude the shir and our entree into Perek HaMafkid. Everyone should have a freilus and shushan purim, which is when I'm dictating this, and there should be shalom and all of Klai Yisrael. The gula shlema should be b'mehera.